following is a digital media production.
Yeah, what up, man? This is Damian Lemon. This is In The Conversation. This episode, we talk about race, race, and more race.
With a white man.
Joe List, tune in.
For the In The Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy East Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, we are back. It is In The Conversation. This is Damian Lemon. And as always, on my right hand side, I got. That man is not here. Not here this week, but on my left-hand side, I got...
Yeah, you got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad in the building.
The voice of your choice. What's good, man?
Man, all good.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Vlad is still in Los Angeles creating the next great sitcom. We will have him back.
Great.
The next great, you know.
Eyes pilt.
Exactly. Making strides for the Dominican... massive and beyond.
And beyond.
And beyond.
So when it drop, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna need them eyeballs.
Exactly, yeah. Come go watch. That shit is on NBC. Everybody got NBC.
Everybody.
But any fucking way. So we just basically got out the longest Black History Month in at least four years.
The greatest.
It was the blackest. Woohoo! It was a black one.
I think even the weather cooperated with it, gave us some tropical weather.
Yeah,
the coldest month of the year was actually warm.
It was a nice.
I think that was in celebration of Black History.
Think that's what it was.
It was a little African touch.
Okay, I could dig it. Was it warm enough to cook out at?
It's about that time.
You think it was cooked out in a good February?
Mr. Percy that live on my block, I think we talked about him before.
Uh-huh. Percy.
He liked to cook out in the blizzard. Like, you know, when the snow drop, you know what I'm saying? When the snow is real white and just out there.
Yeah.
You'll find Mr. Percy on the grill.
Hilarious.
That's his thing.
My sister's good for cooking out in all weather conditions. I don't know about snow, but she'll cook out when it's below 50. She'll do that if nothing on the ground, you know, fuck around, put a couple francs out, you know what I mean? Some shit. But speaking of the cookout, speaking of Black History Month, you definitely be in the deep Twitter, in the deepest caverns of Twitter.
It wasn't that deep. It wasn't that deep.
This one right here was close to the surface. But you good for excavating?
Yeah, I'm good on the research. I'm a good, you know, anthropologist.
Yeah,
you know, all of that good stuff.
Okay, so what you seeing?
So
recently?
on the last day of Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us, you know what I'm saying, to this occasion today.
Right, okay. One of the things.
The hashtag for the last day of Black History Month was white people that can get invited to the cookout.
Okay.
So that means a cool white brother, you know what I'm saying,
or sister. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they had like a picture of Adele when she was singing Nicki Minaj. Like, she could get invited and get a plate.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So... that was, you know, to end Black History Month and to go into, you know, what we all know as White History Year. They concluded with that. So that was pretty funny yesterday.
So what you said is we invited a white man to our cookout, The Conversation.
No doubt.
This is a good guy. He's not just limited just to being a white friend.
He was actually invited before that, but, you know.
He was invited before that.
It just lined up.
I'm terrified.
Him and his homeboy, they were going to be here as a group. It was going to be a mean crossover episode or some DC Marvel type shit. But unfortunately, we only got one, but it's still great. This is funny-ass comics. One of my favorite cats out there. He's been on Conan, been on Last Comic Standing. He did the half hour. He has a great podcast with Mark Norman called Tuesdays with Stories. Give it up for Joe List.
Oh boy, thank you. That was a hell of an intro. It's weird to not hear an applause after that.
Yeah, it felt like.
Can we plug an applause in there?
Definitely.
I'm just sitting in my own silence. But thank you, boy. I appreciate it. Yeah. Happy to be here.
Good to have you here, man. You know,
I'm glad to be in the same company as Adele. I mean, I know I'm not quite. That's not what you were saying.
No,
but
that's
I'll
what
take
that
it.
Is exactly what we're saying.
Oh, great! Yeah. All right, I'm Adele. Exactly.
You and Adele.
You and Adele. Yeah.
Exactly.
At the cookout.
There you go.
Great. Mm-hmm. This is a great cookout.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Watch what the fuck, Dan? That's Adele's third plate. anyway,
that's fun.
One of the reasons we got Joe here is
oh boy,
Joe's one of my like we chop it up quite a bit.
Joe, I like chopping it up.
Yeah, it's always good. We'll see each other in passing at clubs, both on the circuit, and you know we always have a cool conversation. It talks about a few different things. I mean, we talk about movies.
Yeah,
I like his insight on movies.
I'm a movie cunt.
Yeah,
I'm a bit of an elitist when it comes to film.
Yeah, sometimes, but you know what? You know me. I'm tired of hard on shit too. So
Damien's an elitist as well.
Yeah. So a hard fought compliment to me. I'm like, okay, maybe this guy knows what he's talking about. You know. And I've definitely listened to some of your reviews and gone and checked out some of the movies. I think you got a good percentage. I did think Ex Machina was a little overrated in my opinion. But we could talk about that another time. But one of the other things we talk about is a good old race.
I love talking about race.
Yeah, I listen to your podcast. You and Mark talk about it oftentimes with no black people present, and we talk about it over here with no white folks present.
No,
except Chris. Shout out to Chris. But Chris, you know, he's limited on the God mic. You know. Chris, say what's up to the people.
So. Hey, what's going on, everybody? What do you mean I'm limited on the God? Oh, because I'm paying attention to
the
stuff over here.
Yeah, you don't really all the way, you know, sometimes right. you jump in.
Yes, I wade into the conversation.
Exactly. Give it up for Chris. Chris wasn't here last week, but we got him this week, man.
No doubt.
Motherfuckers is busy.
It's a conversation good thing machine. On these days.
Yeah, you know, yeah. But it's big things happening for a lot of people in this room. So that's good to see.
That's what's up.
But we always talk about race and then, you know, movies, race, you know, Oscar's so white.
Yeah.
I think we had a conversation a couple weeks ago. We even talked about it on the podcast. We name-checked you.
Oh, boy.
About all of this shit going on.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be fun to just the Tuesday right after the Oscars.
Yeah.
You know, we had Chris Rock hosting. That's comedy. Mm-hmm. Oscar's so white. You know, that was this year. That's race. I was like, well, fuck it. Let's talk about that and shit. Talk about a few other things. So without further ado, let's get into this, bitch.
Yeah.
First of all, what did you think about? Did you watch the Oscars?
I watched most of them. The first 10 minutes, though, I was at the stand, the comedy club, and they had it on mute. So I was reading the jokes. I heard no audience, so I'm reading it.
Okay,
but it's strange to read.
Yeah,
it's weird to read a lynching joke. You're like, holy shit! It's weird to just see rape in writing.
Right.
So I didn't get to hear the reaction, the crowd's reaction, and everything.
Uh-huh.
And then I came on like you know the last 5 minutes of the opening monologue.
Okay.
So I thought it was interesting. I thought it was too much race. I thought the show was 100% race jokes, and I was kind of like, all right, come on.
Did you?
I mean, it went on and on. It just kept, like, the whole night. It was a through line. I feel like there was almost no jokes that weren't race-related from Rock, I thought.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, he did what he had, what he thought he had to do, and what he, I think he did a fine job. Some of them I didn't feel like were great. Some of them I felt like was a little heavy-handed at times, and a little like it was like a longer. The setup seemed longer. I haven't watched it a second time though.
Yeah,
but I did love the Will Smith didn't get nominated, but he did make $20 million on Wild Wild West. Yeah, I thought that was fun.
That was funny.
And there was a few. I like a sillier joke when it comes. I wanted him to address that, and then let's have some fun. Like he had one joke where he goes. Carol had a lesbian lover scene. That was probably my third favorite movie that had a lesbian scene in it. I'm like, that's the kind of jokes. That's what I want from my Oscar host.
I didn't even
host.
Catch that joke, probably because I didn't see Carol.
That was a fun porn joke. Yeah. I was like, now we're talking. Let's have some fun here.
Mm-hmm.
But now, what did you guys think of The Rock? The Rock monologue is what I meant to say.
The Rock was between a rock and a hard place.
Ooh.
Because he had a lot to prove as far as, you know what I'm saying, to his culture. And his race for, you know, doing the actual show amidst all of the controversy of it all and people calling for him to boycott, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So he was going to do it anyway. So it had to live up to that, as well as, you know what I'm saying, it had to, you know, it had to play to middle America and the Oscars audience as well. Mm-hmm. So I think he was, you know, bouncing a fine line.
Right.
And, you know, where you say, you know, he was a little heavy-handed in parts, it was some people that would say that, ah, he took it easy on him. You know?
Oh, took it easy. I mean, lynching jokes. I mean,
you know, he took it easy. He didn't go hard. There was so much more he could have did with the platform.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Without thinking about, you know, everybody else involved, without watching it from everybody else's perspective, I actually laughed and enjoyed the shit and kept it moving.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen it full on, you know, live with the sound on. So because it's harder to judge. And then when it did come on, people were yelling because I was at a comedy club. So it's hard for me to take it all in. But yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was fun. It's weird. Like, it's next day, the New York Post said, like, he went too far, all caps. And then the Times had a review of, like, this was brilliant. It was amazing. So it was fun to see kind of both sides of that. But it's weird to me to be like, he could have done more. I'm like, he blatantly just called Hollywood racist. He did it comedically. He dedicated almost all of his time to talking about racism. So I think you're being a little hard on Chris if you're going to be like, ah, not enough. You're like, what? What else was he supposed to do? Fucking start shooting people?
Set this shit on fire.
I mean,
I'll be honest with you. I was one of those people who was like, I felt initially, the first time I watched it, and I don't know, I think this is, first time I watched it initially, I was like, I don't know why I was so fucking charged up, ready for this shit. I kind of felt like, I definitely had to weigh what my expectations were. You know what I mean? It was kind of like my expectations of Cam Newton in the Super Bowl, right? I felt like this shit is something for black people.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not a Panthers fan.
I hope he disappointed you greatly, by the way he behaved.
Who's that? Cam Newton?
Cam Newton, yeah. Oh, I know, man. This is old now, but boy, I thought he was...
Yeah, it was
an embarrassment.
Beyonce saved the day on that one. That you know, but... I don't know what I wanted exactly, but I thought he was going to go a little harder.
Harder?
Check it. No, I thought he was going to go a little harder. I thought he was going to go a little harder.
He said, are people being raped and lynched?
Yeah, but that's history.
That was just raped and lynched. That was just the two words within that sentence. In the context of that sentence, it was just they had more things to think about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But again, that was kind of more pointed at the community. It wasn't about the Academy. So this is what I guess, because I had to watch it twice, right? So
I should have watched it twice.
Okay. Initially, I was like, okay, maybe he could have went a little harder. You know what I mean? I think I've been spoiled by like Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes.
Right.
You know, because Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes gives no fucks at all.
Right.
Like every time he goes up there, he looks like there's no way they're going to hire him back.
Right.
So the whole plot line going into the whole, you know, Oscar's so white, but we got a black host and we got Chris Rock as the black host.
Right.
Chris Rock has always been the guy that knows how to just like get real incisive when it comes to race and jokes and things of that nature. And, you know, there was a couple moments where I was like, he could have went in. Or at least that's what I thought initially. Right. So then I watched it again without as much expectation.
Right.
And I watched that shit. That's 10 minutes. First of all, the shit is dense with jokes. Like, it's a lot of jokes. And for it to be a 10-minute set, I mean, he's got some shit in there. And then it also reminds you that, one, Chris Rock is arguably top three comedian of all time, in my opinion. You know what I mean? I mean, he's established. He's in the books. He's accomplished. You know what I mean? There's nothing that really... He don't have anything to prove.
Right.
Another thing that we also got to remember is Chris Rock is well-connected across Hollywood, across the business. Right. You know what I mean? Like, if Top 5 didn't show you that, I mean, like, he's good with a lot of different people. So he knows how to walk that line to where he could still hit you hard, but he's not going to fuck up his connects. Right. You know what I mean? Like... So I understood. I saw him more as the pro. And I also saw this could even be like damn near like a corporate mixtape in the way that like he might have used this Oscar platform just to get you really excited for another hour of Chris Rock. You know what I mean?
Of course. He warms himself up.
Yeah, he warms you up to where like, oh, I kind of want to hear what else he coming with, you know?
Of course, yeah.
And I mean, he killed it. He did what he needed to do. He had some nice little jabs in there. He went in on Jada. That was
I'm from the people's side of the thing. You know what I'm saying? He went hard personally at some of the people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? As he went harder on some of the people than he did the establishment.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
which people? Oh, you mean like Jada, Will and
like
Jada?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
what did he say about Jada?
That she wasn't invited. That. Like, basically, she's a TV actress. And her boycotting the Oscars was like him boycotting Rihanna's panties.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's hilarious.
Like,
that's
I wasn't invited anyway.
It's, right. It's, I mean, funny.
It's funny. It's funny. Definitely, it was a fucking zinger.
Yeah.
Right.
It cut real deep.
Right. Yeah.
But it cut deep on the people and not the establishment. And that was one of the things that's kind of like, ew.
But I think that's what I always have liked about Rock. He's hitting everybody. I mean, he doesn't like hypocrisy or stuff. So he hit everything. I mean, he hit her. He hit them.
Hit hard over here, though.
Yeah.
There was one moment where it was like, it was almost like, you know, you ever play a video game. I don't play a whole lot of video games, but you know those first-person shooters where you're like the person behind the gun. And you see everything in your sights. There was one moment where Leo was in his sights. He was like, "And Leo," and then he was about to light Leo up, and then he just says, and walked off. And I was like, "What the fuck?" But then I thought about it. I mean, this is going to be the night Leo finally got an Oscar.
Right, right, right.
Him, Leo, Chappelle was at Q-Tip's house talking shit a couple months ago. That's really his man.
Right,
right.
But I guess I was kind of looking at, like, you know, Gervais' Golden Globes. I looked at old school Chris Rock at the VMAs back in the day where he, like, no one was safe in the room.
I love that one.
Like, no one was safe in the room. So, overall, I mean, it was a solid set. It was a great set. You know, initially, I was like, damn. You know what I mean? But overall, he did his thing. He delivered. You know, he's a beast.
Yeah, and it's hard to be funny and have everyone enjoy the show and not just be like, guys, this is a real problem. I mean, this is crazy. There's no black people. Like, you have to have jokes in there. You can't just be like, you fucking racist asshole, which he kind of did in a lot of ways. Like, it's racist this way. It's not racist that way. And it is hard for me to understand, like, is Hollywood seems to me like it would be the least racist place in the country. Would you argue that's not the case?
It's just what he said, isn't it? They're just not that same kind of racist.
Right. Sorority racist.
They're not burn across racist. They're sorority racist.
But this is what is hard for me. And again, I'm naive and I'm white, so I don't have to deal with it nearly as much. But you still have these wildly not normal levels of incarceration and poverty. So those are huge problems. And police brutality. So it's so hard for me to really get fully on board of, like, yeah. And one of 20 of the 5 million performances this year, not one of them was black. This is an outrage. Like, it's crazy to me. It seems so small in comparison to these other real racist issues that are actually happening.
And that was what the rape and lynching joke was about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's also the flip side to the whole scenario is that they had the whole thing up with Flint during the same night as the Oscars.
Right.
So it's definitely a large percentage of the black contingency was focusing on something totally different because just for that same reason what you just said.
Right.
There's other things to worry about. But, you know what I'm saying, if we're going to worry about this, all right, it's on TV, we're going to talk about it. It's on the table for the conversation, and there it is.
Right.
And it happens, it went, and then we'll wait to next year to see what happens.
Right. I feel like a lot of the outrage, too, just comes from a lot of white people, too. I think there's a lot of, I mean, I'm judging here, but I think there's a huge percentage of black people that don't give a shit about the Oscars either way. No. Just a bunch of rich people in gowns giving awards. So I think a lot of black people are like, "What? Who gives a fuck?"
I mean, a lot of people. That's what I said.
A lot of people, yeah, certainly.
That was my whole thing. Like, shit, I never watched the Oscars anyway.
So he kind of Beyonce'd it a little bit, like, with the Super Bowl. Like, you know, I had no team in the Super Bowl. I was excited about Cam, but Beyonce kind of stole the show. I think that for a lot of people I know, the only reason they were watching the Oscars this year was really to see what Chris Rock's monologue was, and maybe right behind that was to see if Leo finally.
Right.
After that, nobody really gave that much of a fuck about it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's one of those things that's kind of passed on because I think it was a huge deal in the 40s and 50s and 60s, and now we just all kind of pretend it's still huge. Now with Twitter, it's more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people, most people don't give a shit about the entire middle 2 hours of the Oscars anyways when they're giving out technical awards and bullshit.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I think the whole discourse on the Oscars and Hollywood and all that shit, it really just stems from the lack of variety and choices that we're, you know, that as a black consumer you're getting, you know what I'm saying? on the at the same level platforms, you know what I'm saying? So it's like you're not getting as much content, and the content that you are getting may be on a different level or maybe a certain segment, and every time you see it, it's the same thing. And every time that it's on a big level, it's you either working as a servant or slave or, you know what I'm saying, doing something
right.
very savage, as we said a couple of shows back.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying, that becomes like, okay, well, what the fuck, okay? Can we get something else? You know, and you know, and because there's Twitter and 24-hour talk cycle, those things do come up in the sauce, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And when we do get something as collectively as a group, and we get behind it, it just, you know, we get behind it, it goes. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And then it's like, see, we can do it.
Right.
And then again, you won't see anything for you know, saying another 2 years, and it's like, the fuck?
Now, what happens next year? Because this happened 1 year, a few years ago, or 10 years ago, I guess, was where there was no black nominees, and people were mad, not as much outrage because it was less social media. And then the following year, Halle Berry and Denzel both won. And then there was people going,
for some bullshit.
Wait a minute, this is just a giveaway, just a makeup. Clearly, it's just a makeup. So I'm like, so what is the scenario where it's like, aha, perfect. That was fair, and that was good. Because it feels like if now, if black people win next year or nominate, it's going to be like, well, see, there you go. There's your makeup call. And it's like, what is going to be...
It's never going to be fair because nothing is fair. This shit is all fucked up. There's too many levels of unfairness
right.
for you to feel like it's fair.
Right.
So we got a lot of work to do, and it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? We're going to keep going and living, but, you know, some shit just is, you know, like next year may be a lot of African-American nominations because if you look at how Sundance went, Sundance was probably the blackest Sundance ever this right. year. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of movies being picked up, you know what I'm saying? The Nat Turner picture got, you know, the record as far as the amount of money purchased for the film. So you may be looking at, you know what I'm saying, more black nominations for next year's Oscar, which may look like a makeup, but at the same time, the cycle of business
right.
dictated that, okay, this year was a lot of films being picked up. So...
Yeah.
You know, on the surface, you're going to have the people that are saying, it's just makeup. Then on the flip side, it was just like, you know, more of the movies were being made this year.
Right.
Plus, the Oscars is not above a good makeup. Black or white. Like, Leo, I think Leo's performance in Wolf of Wall Street was better than The Revenant.
Well, that's the thing, too, that happens a lot with, like, people were like, you know, Sylvester Stallone got nominated, but Michael B. Jordan didn't. But it's like, but the Oscars also, the Academy has always had things like that. They love a comeback story. He's playing the same character 40 years ago. They love that. They love to, like, Tom Hardy didn't get nominated, but the Academy has a history of doing, or didn't win, but they have a history of being like, he'll be back, he'll get a bunch of things. Or like Martin Scorsese won for The Departed, which is like a pretty good movie, and he's made 10 masterpieces. So they do weird shit like that anyways. I don't know how racist, I know it's mostly white, the crew, but they're like the Hollywood liberal. It's hard for me. And they're also, you know, there's also the thing of like who's selling tickets. They got to push who would sell. I don't know how that all works. Again, it's easier for me because I'm like, well, it doesn't seem like a big deal to me.
Because,
what do I know?
Well, it was interesting because I was listening to one of your shows earlier today.
Oh boy. Shit.
And you guys were talking about sympathy and empathy.
Right.
And
right.
Chris went and got the definition.
Yeah.
And it just seems like, you know, a lot of times it falls as sympathy when really people are looking for empathy, you know, and it's like, you know, come on, what the fuck? Why do we only get highlighted for certain shit? And why, you know, is that so few and far between?
Right.
Yeah. It all comes down, like, exactly. It's just about the opportunity. If you get the opportunity to go and you fuck up your opportunity, then that was that was your shot.
Right.
But if you are killing shit and then there's opportunity out there and you don't get considered, that's where the resentment is like, what the fuck? I'm out here killing. People know I'm out here killing shit.
Right.
But the people who could provide me an opportunity to take it to the next level are not paying attention. And it's like, what the fuck do you have to do to take it to the next level? I will say this. I mean, long story short, the whole Oscar shit is, it's a statue. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's an amazing thing. It means something. And obviously, you get 20% pay increase or whatever. It's great to be, you know, rewarded by your peers. It definitely puts you in a different category. But yeah, it's not stopping, you know, kids getting killed by the cops. Like it's still like it's pretty low on the level of priority But it's just one of those things that is something where people are vocal. You know what I mean? I think social media has a lot to do with that. There's a lot of people have a voice again on social media. So the voice was loud enough to where, you know, the Academy had to consider it.
Right.
And that's really the fight. That's really the fight. It's like, all right, well, just consider that and think about that and let's work for change. Like if you hear us out and you start to consider, you saying, oh, there's good work being done here as well as over here, then that's a win.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think nobody's looking for a handout or anything like that. And, you know, shit, overall, what was I want? I forget where I was going with that last point. But, But, you know, just overall, I'm glad that we made some noise. We'll see what happens going forward. I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's like the cycle of life. As a black person,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like you kind of gotta be the squeaky wheel a little bit. Yeah. What about us? You know what I mean? And then I'm sure, as you know, white people are like, oh, come on. I mean, shit, it ain't as bad as what it used to be. We just want that shit to be where it don't have to. Well, you don't even have to consider.
Right.
Was this because, like, as a white guy, you never really ever have to consider, or it's probably it's way less frequent that you ever have to consider. Was that because I'm a white guy?
I think in our industry is the one place that does happen. I think elsewhere in America, no. I've had people, 5 different instances from a festival manager agent club where people have said, we like you, we think you're great, but we just have too many white guys.
Too many. We need to get one black guy and maybe a woman.
Which is a go-to argument or reaction. But then I think what happens sometimes with ultra-liberalism, and I'm a liberal, I'm certainly not an ultra-liberal, is that people make arguments as though this country is 50% white and 50% black. And in comedy as well.
Uh-huh.
If you go to an open mic, any comedy, a big comedy party, all the New York scene's going to be there.
Yeah.
It's 11-1 white to black.
Okay.
Everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Everywhere. An open mic, I go there, there's 50 white. Same with women, too, in comedy.
Uh-huh.
We are massively the majority. And in the country, too, there's still, I think, 16% black or 14% black.
I don't know. I thought it was like 13.
Maybe it's, okay, so it's
not for long, guys.
13. I mean, I'm fine with that.
Latinos are blowing past everybody.
The browns and the blacks.
So, yeah, it's like there's too many white guys, but that's who's doing comedy, and that's who's living in the country. So, like, people say that to me. Like, I've had that happen. I was in an argument with my buddy who's, like, further left than I am. And I was like, yeah, I had one black kid in my high school. And he's like, that speaks to the racism in America. And I'm like, wait a minute. There's 13% black people. So there's going to be huge amounts of cities and towns that have no black people. That's not racist. There's just 80% more. But sometimes with these conversations, they're like, look at this, 5 white guys and 1 black guy, token black guy. I'd be like, that's the ratio of black to white.
But still, 1 out of fucking 5 white guys, that is not an advantage towards the black guy.
I'm not saying it's an advantage, but I'm saying a lot of times, I'm going back to like comedy where people are being like, we have too many
white guys. We gotta consider the other
people. We can't take any more white guys. So I've been told, literally, we think you're qualified, we think you're great, we love you, but we can't take you because of your race.
Yeah.
That's been told to my face. I mean, annoyed, but I...
How many times have you said this fucking nigga?
I've never said that.
Oh, okay.
But like, I understand it. This is what I get bothered by. I understand the need for diversity because I've hosted shows at like a comedy club in Midtown that was known for only booking white guys. And I've hosted shows where I bring up 7 white guys in a row and I'm looking at the black table and it's embarrassing for me to be like, here's another guy. And like, I can feel them being like, can we get a black guy out here?
Yeah.
And maybe they didn't even notice. I don't know. Maybe no one noticed. But it is weird. So I'm like, if I was booking a show, I'd be like, I got to have a black person on the show. I got to have a woman on the show because nobody ever says in comedy or in showbiz, we need to get a white guy in there. But people do go, we got to get a black guy because we can't have these 5 white guys. And I'm not even talking qualified or not qualified.
Yeah.
And there are obvious, I'm not saying there's like, if a black guy's getting something, it's because he's black. I'm saying because there's oftentimes we're like, shit, we have too many white people. You're out.
That's my thing. Like, white is the default. Anything besides white is diversity.
But that's because of percentage. I mean, we're 75%. Well, now, because of Latinos, I mean, I think we're like 53% of the country. But still, much greater percentage than black people. So there's going to be more white people in most things because there are more white people.
But half of those Latino people are black, too. So
I'll take that. But like, I have had people literally say, like, not this year. We have too many white guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't make me feel good. Obviously, I'm like, oh, shit, that sucks. That doesn't seem fair. But, you know.
So imagine how that shit feel when you're like, ain't no black guys in here. We don't need any.
Oh, we just felt that black slot.
Right.
It's not even too many white people. It's right. Like, damn, you were too late. All six white slots are filled. That one black slot, we got to give it to the black person.
Right.
It could be a black guy or woman.
Let's give it to the Latino guy.
I feel like that's... Yes! Right. I mean, yeah, certainly that's the thing, but I do just see way more white people doing comedy and walking around the street also. It's weird, like, happens... I
mean, you know, just where you're walking.
Right, yeah, but there's also... Like, that happens in, like diversity in, like, movies and stuff. Like, people get mad at Woody Allen. They're like, oh, there's no black people. I got in this argument with Keith Robinson one time. And I'm like, but his movies are about rich Manhattanites on the Upper East Side.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you go to Park Avenue, you're not running into a lot of black guys.
You might, but you're not paying attention to them.
Right. And it happened. if you're inside the building, I don't know how many.
If you're inside the building,
Same thing. It happened with like girls is like another one where like girls are like, there's no diversity. But I'm like, they're in Greenpoint and Williamsburg, which is funny because a lot of these like super liberal white people are in Williamsburg and they're like, we got Black Lives Matter. And then you go to eat every single bar. It's 100% white people. I'm like, this might be the least diverse place I've ever seen.
But it's black guys in Greenpoint. It's Puerto Ricans in Greenpoint.
There are,
They're not in the bars.
But you can go to a lot of places and not see any.
Yeah, you're definitely right.
Yeah. I think the only place where you could be black, I always say this, the only black place where you could feel like you're in the majority is Atlanta. Like, when I go to Atlanta, that's like the closest thing to Africa that I've ever been to in the United States. Like, I don't feel like I have to see white folks for a couple days. That's the only place where it's noticeably black. Like, okay, shit. As soon as I touch down, I'm in the airport. I'm like, okay, this is a black situation. Everywhere else, there's white people. You gotta contend with white people. I don't think there's a situation where white people really feel like, all right, damn, I'm like one of the only white people in this motherfucker, unless they in a straight black neighborhood, like,
right?
You know,
early gentrifiers.
When last right. time? Yeah, you know, exactly. When you're Lewis and Clark, mission.
Right? I mean, I lived in Harlem for a year. I mean, 7 years ago. And why is that funny? I don't get it.
Because how you said it, like you was in the shit. I lived there. I was in Harlem.
I'm not saying that. I was the minority for sure. Right. And then I never had. We talked about this, and then I want to amend what we talked about at the Stellar because this happens to me sometimes because I realize I live in a bubble, a very liberal bubble, and I only read Facebook feeds from all my comedian friends, and I hang out with a lot of comedians and New Yorkers and just good people. My family's good people, like nice people, and I'm like, this racism is overblown. This is horseshit. I do stand by the fact I think this is by far the least racist time in the history of our country, and I also think it's by far the most we've ever discussed race and called things racist. I think there's a lot of like, that's racist, he's racist, this is racist. And a lot of them, I'm like, I'm not sure if that is actually racist or just a weird incident. Like, I just had this incident outside where this guy started yelling at me.
Mm-hmm.
We were both white. But if I was black, I would 100% be like, this guy hates me because I'm black. He's yelling at me.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just a crazy guy. I was on the phone outside of his apartment. He's like, get the fuck out of here. I'll beat the shit out of you. And I'm like, if I was black,
that wouldn't happen.
That's a different. This is like.
He wouldn't have went down cops. Like that. He would have called the cops.
Yeah. And which I do recognize.
Got a black man on my stoop.
I do recognize it. And I think I ran into you one day. I have so many thoughts that all at once here.
But go ahead. No,
I remember having this bumping into you and Vlad, I think it was. I was sitting on a stoop, and I had this moment where I was like, this is an example. I hate the term white privilege. It's just thrown around and annoys me. But I'm like, this is an example of white privilege where I'm just sitting on a stoop on the Upper West Side. And I remember you being like, what are you doing? I'm like, just hanging out, killing some time. Like, that's definitely a white privilege thing that I can just sit on somebody's stoop for an hour and nobody says shit. Of course, just now, I almost got my ass kicked by some maniac.
Uh-huh.
But, fuck, my point was, shit. Now I lost it. I was going to say.
Fuck a point, man. We just having a conversation.
I was going to say something. What were we talking? Oscars, damn it.
You felt like this was the least racist time in America, you feel like this is the most talk about race.
Right? Yes, that was it. Oh, that's the thing I was talking about, a bubble. But then, so I'm like, I live in New York, I walk around, I'm like, it feels like there should be all these, I should just be seeing racial incidences everywhere.
Right.
But I never do. But then I realized, I went to like the Poconos a couple weeks ago, and there was five comics on before me, white guys, that did like not like PC, like literal racist jokes where I was like, ugh. Mm. And the crowd's like, yeah. And then I watched like a Trump rally and they're like, ah! And the Ku Klux Klan. And I'm like, oh shit, I forget because I am in like a New York City liberal bubble.
Now, speaking of that, I mean, just on the way here, you know what I'm saying? Just like how you say you go through in New York and you don't see many racial incidents. So just being a black guy, you know what I'm saying, 6'3", walking down the block is a racial incident. You know what I'm saying? I was coming off the train just now, walking, and I just so happened to kind of be in stride with, you know, the white lady coming down the block, you know, shopping or whatever. And then my phone rang and she looked over and noticed that it was, you know, who I was. And she was like, and she looked at me and she's just put on the brakes. Like, let me get the fuck away from this guy. Cause she was like, And then she, you know, she had a little, you know, turn up her lip and backed up off of me until we got to the corner again. And she had to be next to me again. And then she kind of turned it back and moved all the way to the edge of the sidewalk. And that's just for no apparent reason. It's just me walking down the street in New York.
Right.
And before that, you know what I'm saying? On the train coming here, you know, boom, the train was crowded at first, then everybody got off. So I sat down. And then the next stop, it wasn't a whole lot of people, but, you know what I'm saying, it was enough to start filling up the seats. And then, you know, I had the seat next to me.
Nobody sat next to me?
None of the people wanted to sit next to me. Like, they were like, yeah, look at me, and like, okay, hold on, I'm going to just hold on to this pole right here.
Right.
And then, you know, then it'd be like some, you know, Latino woman come in and just, you know.
Bridge the gap.
Right, right.
But, it's, you know what I'm saying, that's day-to-day. That's, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's every time you come out of the house. And that's New York City.
Right.
On the Upper West Side, not even the East.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just those little things that kind of, like, it kind of piss you off.
Right. That, I mean, that's frustrating, obviously. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, sounds like that's an older lady. Maybe we're moving past these people. Not, she'll be dead
soon. That lady wasn't that old.
But also, I see so many incidences of people being like, ah, I should get my seat up to this black guy. I'm sorry. Like, there's so many people that are like, holy shit, I'm not racist. It feels like people go over the top. I see a lot of that now, too, where people are like,
a lot of that.
I feel people like, this black African American guy, and there's like so many instances of like, somebody stole my purse. Who is he's tall. Like, there's so many people who are afraid to be racist and offensive. So I think people, there's a lot of that also, but certainly there's more of that, and that must suck. You know, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, you ain't got it's just a conversation. We're at the table with it. You
but
know?
There's also a thing, too, that like happens because there's things of like, oh, you see a black guy, you cross the street, racist. But I'm like, sometimes there's also incidents of like, there's like data. Like, I see a guy, like, for instance, non-racially, like a group of like college white guys drinking. That's terrifying to me because I feel like they're like, let's beat up the nerd. They didn't get laid. They're maniacs. So I stay away from them. Me and most of the people that are closest to me have been mugged at some point by an African-American man. Uh-huh. So sometimes, like, it's just I'm like, okay, well, that looks similar. That's the same race and gender of the guy that has robbed me. My girlfriend got robbed at gunpoint. I've been mugged. My best friend Tom has been mugged. Mark's been mugged 100 times. All black people. So I mean, you're laughing, but there is an example of like, I have to use some amount of data in my brain to be like, okay, well, that is, and that sucks for you guys and for the other millions and millions and majority of black guys that aren't mugging people and robbing people. But, and again, just so it's not racially, if I see a group of drunk women going into a comedy show, I'm like, I hate these cunts. I wish they weren't going into the show because that's who's been a problem at my shows before. So there is a thing that I don't think is race. It's just a natural thing of like, all right, I've had incidences with these frat kind of guys before. I've had incidences with these black kind of guys. So I'm interested and aware that like, all right, this could be a thing that's happening. Right. But now, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, sitting next to a black guy on the train, that's a little different, obviously.
Right.
But 2 a.m, we're walking down the street. There is a thing of like, all right, let me have my fists in my pocket. That's regardless of race. But like, let me just be ready in case. If it's a 75-year-old black guy, I'm not thinking that.
No doubt. No doubt.
So, and like, I read this article one time, like with cops, like there was an article in the New York Times, like 98% of gun-related phone calls by the NYPD are either black or Latinos. So there's going to be some amount of like, let's take extra precaution when we're going into this black place, because 1% of the calls in New York City with white people involved have involved guns. So they're going to be a little more like, okay, this probably won't be an incident, because there's data in there. Now, why are there so many more black and Latino people with guns or in poverty? That's more where the problem lies. And that's, to me, is a systematic racist situation.
Welcome to our presidential debate between Donald Trump.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Bernie Sanders.
I'm honored that the American people are devoting their time to us tonight.
And Hillary Clinton.
Where is she? Is she still in the toilet again? I hope she's not deleting any more emails.
Oh, I am so sorry. I was in the little girl's room.
Hill, maybe you should get yourself a squatty potty.
A what?
Squatty potty. It's the small toilet stool. It puts yourself in the correct angle, so, you know, you can go better.
Sanders, I think you're full of it. Heck, you believe unicorns can make rainbows.
I am not full of it. Since I've been using Squatty Potty, I'm able to let it all go a lot easier. Squatty Potty can get our country moving again.
There's no debate. Squatty Potty, as seen on Shark Tank and made in the USA, will guarantee better eliminations. Go to electsquattypotty.com for free express delivery and discreet packaging. Squatty Potty has an exclusive 60-day guarantee and is available at all Bed Bath & Beyond and Target stores. Go to electsquattypotty.com today.
Get America moving again.
Invest in a Squatty Potty.
Celebrity voices are parodies and not endorsements.
This is Sherrod Small.
And Kurt Metzger.
Of the Race Wars Podcast. Check out our podcast.
To hear the very first interracial friends in history.
Right. That's right.
That's right. We are the first.
We are.
The first real interracial friends talking about race openly and without fear. And there ain't nothing like it anywhere.
That's
you're
right.
Cheating yourself if you're not listening.
You can find new and archived episodes of Race Wars on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
Yeah.
So check it out.
That's a good point. See, there's a lot of different things going on at play with a lot of this. The real truth is, you're not black, I'm not white, right? So it's really, we're trying our hardest to empathize with each other, but we can't really walk in each other's shoes. It's kind of like...
No, I wish we could. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of like even with, like, you know, you have a fiance. It's like when you talk to your lady about issues that affect women.
Yeah.
You can empathize, but you'll never know what it is to be a woman, right? And then there's this thing about when you're trying to tell somebody what your reality is and they don't get it, and then sometimes even dismiss your reality as overblown.
Right.
There's a frustration that grows with that to where it's like you have no fucking idea. You know what I mean? And it, a white guy... A white guy could fucking rob you as well, you know?
Certainly. Has not been my experience.
Absolutely.
Yet.
Absolutely. You know what I mean?
But I have had white guys be like, let's beat up the fucking nerd, you faggot, piece of shit.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying to me similarly.
Yeah. I mean, it's just basically, it's just kind of the benefit of the doubt a little bit. Like, that's what most black people just don't get. You know what I mean? Now, when it comes down to data and shit like that, I don't really always trust data because that shit could be manipulated to fit a narrative. You know what I mean? Like, if depends on where you get your data from. Are you looking at social media today or the internet today? Oftentimes, people don't even read the story.
Of course.
Just whatever the clickbait is or whatever the title is. And, you know, the shit could be manipulated however they want to spin it, you know? And if it supports, I feel like, even beyond race, I think that media kind of supports fear anyway.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
And then it might even be an underlying fear of, let's be honest, the United States was not built with black people in mind as fully participating human beings.
No, at no point.
You know what I mean? So if you kind of build a country on the backs of people that you don't even see as equals and then give them the... You know, give them the, I don't want to say illusion, but you give them equality, in quotes, you give them equality later on, right?
Right.
There could also be an underlying fear that, who knows if it's support or not, that these motherfuckers might take retribution. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
Because imagine if it was different, if black people were oppressing white people for years and we had y'all as slaves and shit like that, and then one day it was like, yo, white folks, look. Y'all not slaves anymore. Live free.
Right.
No hard feelings.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
live free, but not in the places that we're
existing. Yeah, please live free over there.
Right.
There might even still be, just based on history, it might still be a little bit of anxiety. Like, shit, you know, after what we just did to them, they might be looking for payback. I know I done watched a bunch of kung fu flicks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is always for revenge years and years right. later. So, I mean, like, again, it's one of those things to where it's really hard to understand exactly what's going on either side. So I always like to have these conversations. I mean, it's nothing we could really do but to have these conversations. Like, when I talk to you, I don't talk to you as, I brought you on as the white guy, just more so in jest, but I talk to you as Joe List. I talk to Mark as Mark Norman. I don't even see y'all as, I mean, y'all are white. I can't not say I don't see you as white people, but when I see you on stage, you know, initially I might see you as a white guy, but then when you prove to be a funny fucking comic, I'm like, oh, he's a funny comedian. He's a beast. He's going to get busy. You know, I see you as Joe List.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that comes from personal interaction.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think sometimes we have the luxury of being in New York City, which is probably the most diverse place in the U.S., so,
or in the world, I would imagine.
In the baby.
Astoria, you know, they claim.
Yeah.
Which is where I live.
That's what I've... Okay, look at... See? From Harlem to Astoria.
From Harlem to Astoria. I'm all over the place. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is we have the opportunity to engage with people. Now, if you fucking live in Madison, Wisconsin, where you might see a black person every Tuesday.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can have your own ideas of what black people do because you only know that one black guy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, which is where most fear and hatred comes from any group, from gays, blacks, white, whatever, is from people that aren't really spending a lot of time with those people or interacting.
Exactly.
Which I've had that with Muslims, with ISIS, which is, again, fear tactics. We're really not in all that much danger, it doesn't seem. But I remember talking, like, people, you're like, oh, these Muslims, we got to keep them out, but I live on 36th Ave in Astoria, and it's just all Muslim. It never even occurred to me. Uh-huh. I'm just walking by these guys that are out. I mean, they're smoking and spitting on the sidewalk in annoying fashion. I'm like, oh, God, this is gross. You walk by, and everyone's like, and spitting everywhere. But, like, it's never been like, oh, my God, I got to move. This is crazy. Because they're just the people that are living next to me. But people living in, you know, fucking middle of Pennsylvania are like, gee, we get these Muslims, they're taking us over. They're all going to bomb. I mean, this is what Trump is.
Yeah.
Right. These people have never even seen a fucking Muslim person outside of the news. So that's where a lot of, I think, the real fear and hatred comes from, people that aren't talking to these people. I mean, that's why conversation is so important.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question to
Talk
you guys?
To me. Yeah.
Talking about Chris Rock, and he's great. Did it at the time, or looking back, the black people versus N-words bit, the bring the pain, are you guys offended by that, annoyed by that? Because it never occurred to me, because I was white and 14, I was like, this is hilarious.
Uh-huh.
But that gave so much permission, I guess, or love for white people and black people to be like, you see? Uh-huh. He's saying it.
Uh-huh.
There's a bunch of crazy black people out there. You know what I mean? And like, so I've talked to black people since that were upset about that and annoyed by that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you think about it, obviously, he's black, so he can talk about black people, but it's the most racist bit ever perpetrated. Like, if a white person did that bit, I mean, you would be like, that's a piece of shit human being.
But a white person didn't do it. And
no, I know, but certainly a person sent a mass message out of, like, we can't go to the movies because black people will shoot the movie theater, and they're
Which
dumb.
Which is now a white thing.
Right.
Let's talk about it. That's right.
Yeah, we took that.
That was the 90s. It was only like one or two.
We've taken a lot from you guys.
I didn't. Go ahead.
When that came out, you know, I didn't have much experience with white people.
Right.
So I was in a black world, in a black bubble, and it was a black conversation that you could understand in the context of what it was. So growing up, just like in any community, there are good people, there are bad people. And that's basically what that bit was about. You know what I'm saying? There was some people that's, you know, in your community that just wasn't good.
Right.
And then there were other ones. Most of the people were, you know, decent and everybody was having a good time.
Right.
So I took it as that. So I didn't even consider it in a larger conversation outside of the black community.
Right.
So it was just a totally different point of view for me.
Right. But the majority of people that saw it are white, because the majority of people are white. So it definitely gave sort of a, I don't know, I can't think of the right word, but permission in a way for millions of white people to be like, you see, even he says it.
But what? White people didn't need
people
no permission.
In this
they didn't, white people never needed permission for us.
Right,
us
right.
To say and they're not really ever going to get permission from a black
not,
guy.
Not permission, but confirmation is a better word.
Confirmation
is a better word. Like, look at even Chris Rock is saying it. But, and I think people were like, see, there are two groups of people. There's black people and there's, I don't want to say the N-word on your podcast here. But
that's the thing. There it is. That's one, it's a joke. And two, at the base of it.
To me, it's a great joke. I'm a comedian, so I don't give a shit.
No, it's an amazing joke. But at the base of it, it's like good and bad. But it's a different signifier. It's just like how there's plenty of, I don't know them, but there's probably plenty of labels that white people use. Like there's white trash and there's white regular white people or there's bros. I don't know how y'all group. Right. You know what I mean? I don't know how white people group white people. But like when you're outside the race or whatever, one thing that we try not to do, but it's hard not to do because we're not intimately involved with these races, is we try not to see them as a monolith, right? We try not to see them as just all one group, right?
Right.
But it is kind of tough sometimes. Like, you'd be like, oh, those white folks. You know right. what I mean? Like, we might not take white nuance, and white people might be like, oh, that's a bunch of black people. They might not say, well, that look like a black guy that does this or whatever, because right. they might not have the same knowledge, right?
They don't have the information.
They don't right. have the information. So when that bit came out, like, the thing about Chris Rock and the thing about that Bring the Pain special was like, that was his breakout, really. Like, he right. was popping, and he was out there, but that was, like, the breakout special.
That's it was unbelievable.
Still probably one of the best specials in the last 25 years.
Of all time,
I mean, it's up there, right? So that was the breakout. That was the single off of it. And I think on a certain level, Chris Rock at that moment, not to say that we didn't see him making strides towards the mainstream, but at that moment, Chris Rock was still kind of the people. You know what I mean? Chris right. Rock is always black. Chris Rock still does black humor. Like, even that Stacey Dash gag at the Oscars, I think that shit went over most white people's heads.
Totally, man.
You know what I mean? Like, he's good at knowing how to play to both sides. And it was one of those conversations that's been going on in the black community for a while. And the thing is, when you're of the black community, there can be this concern that don't air the dirty laundry. Don't have white people looking at us crazy, because there's this concern of we don't want to be judged unfairly or judged or sold out by our own. So there's that kind of anxiety, which honestly, the goal, if there was a goal, is to be able to participate in culture and life just like anybody else, to where if I do some shit, it's just Damien doing some dumb shit, right. not a black guy doing some dumb shit. But when that did come out, that shit was fucking hilarious because it was on point. Chris Rock right. he's been one of those guys that has, and even what, Sunday, he's always been one of those guys that will check his own community, for better or worse, because like right. you said, he don't really stand for a whole lot of hypocrisy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, all right. That shit might have stung, but okay, I see your point there. That was valid. But you might be like, damn, son, you ain't had to say it in front of the white people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But fuck, I mean, to your point again, it's mostly white people. And if you're going to be talking to the masses, white people are going to hear you. It's not, you know,
right.
we don't speak on our own frequency. I mean, we might yeah. quietly, but it ain't, you know, if we're trying to get a message out and big, and it's going to have to be contended.
Yeah, and those walls have fell now with the internet. It's like,
yeah,
everybody's talking across the board. But again, it's like, just like you said earlier in the show, like you did have some breakdowns of different people in your community that
drunk white folks.
What you call
of course.
Them? The drunk face cunts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to call them, but yeah.
Yeah, like the drunk face cunts. Like, there's a difference between a drunk face cunt and, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Good, upstanding people that come to the club.
Right. Yeah, I mean, definitely. But there's definitely are huge groups of black people that were offended and are, I think, angry about that.
I didn't come across
Chris Rock. Oh, Google it.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean it's a huge number. It's maybe a huge internet number, but just right. it's not something that I felt in the, you know, from people. Most people that, you know, they reference it still.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And not, it's sometimes in jesting, and sometimes it's like, okay, nah, we not going to have that. You know what I'm saying? It was another part of that bit that I actually hear a lot more often is like when you go off to college.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and then
right.
you come back and it's like, well, can you whoop my ass?
Yeah. Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? That was a more, you know what I'm saying? That's something I hear more about in that bit than even that, the, you know what I'm saying, black people versus versus the N-word, you know what I'm saying?
Now, what, we're going to probably run, I don't know if we're running out of time. But like, what do you think this, because I talked to Will Silvins about this, what do you think the source of that is, of in the black community, someone coming back and going, I went to college, like, don't come around here with all that learning shit? Because Will Silvins has a theory that it's because years and years ago, slave owners were pitting black people against each other, and this is the remnants of that. Which but, I don't know if
no, that has some relevance. But at the same time, that wasn't that long ago. It wasn't, you know, a very long time.
Right.
It's still within, you know what I'm saying, some people's lives that existed. Mm-hmm. Like people that still live in that existed. So you're going to still have the remnants of that. Mm-hmm. But also, it's also a thing where again, when there's not a lot of opportunity and there's not a lot of positive talk of people that stay in the community, that's, you know what I'm saying, where once desegregation happened, mm-hmm. all of the educated people had a chance to go elsewhere. You understand? Right. They were able to go other places. So those people left certain communities where they historically live.
Right.
And then it just leaves behind the group that, you know what I'm saying, weren't as mobile.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So those people could carry a certain resentment because, you know, before the community was one way, now it's not.
Right.
And then you go off and then you come back, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you come back with your little car, you know.
Right.
You know, so, but at the same time, when I move from the inner city to the suburb in Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we moved, and it was all white neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the second black family on the block. There were white families, and then the white flight happened, you know what I'm saying? So all the white families started moving out really fast within like
Which
3 years.
Is the history of the country.
But
is white people fleeing black people?
There was families, there were white families that couldn't flee.
Right.
They weren't as mobile. They were stuck. They were stuck here with us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they kind of had the same feeling about the white people that left that black people had about the black people
that's
left.
That's what I was going to say, because that happens in my community too, where people are like, look at, oh, here's Hollywood Joe. Yeah, right. Look at you with your nice shirt.
Right.
And I'm like, ah, jeez, I got some money. I bought a shirt.
And that's just human nature.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we could break it down on every level, but that's human nature, because what going to college and all of that suggests is that you have bettered yourself, right?
Right.
So you've bettered yourself. This could potentially change your life. You might, based on this college degree and the opportunities you'll get off the strength of that, you might be able to transcend or go to the next level. You know, you might be able to get out the hood, and you might feel, or people might feel, that you feel better then.
Right.
Right? You have more opportunity. And that goes anywhere. That's just like you. Like you said, Hollywood Joe. Like when you go back to Boston and you've been on television a few times, people look at you differently because the people from your neighborhood aren't on television.
Yeah, right.
But that don't mean that you're any different. You've just been exposed to more.
Right.
It don't mean that you can't empathize with those people. So it's just, it's one of those, it's just another way where we could kind of, we could point, like, in the, like, just around people. I don't even want to say in the hood, but just around people. There's so many things. Like, you come around your people and you got a haircut and some new sneakers. Cats will light you. Oh, look at this. Oh, this motherfucker getting money now. Or you think you winning now. You know, because it's just, it's a point of difference.
Right.
And then it's just all the way across the board. When you go back, people are going to be watching to see if you're acting different.
Of course.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And you can feel
and that's,
it.
That's everywhere. That's, like you said, it's human nature. But, you know, when Chris Rock said it, it was in context to us, and he put it in a way that was funny and that you could really see it. It was, you know, sometimes it was a bit of an exaggeration, but you understood exactly where he was coming from. And I think that's why Chris Rock plays well across different races, is because people can understand those stories. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No matter what race you are, he just told it in the context of black people.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we had a lot of black talk, but I enjoyed this. This was a good time. You enjoy yourself?
I love it. I mean, I love talking. I love engaging conversations.
We always chop it up.
Of any subject.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you this, because we often talk about television, films, and shit like that.
Yeah.
On a lighter note, what you watching right now? What's going on? What
I never watch anything. I watch the show Togetherness, which is very white, on HBO, Mark and Jay Duplass. Have you ever seen it? Yeah. I think it's really well done and really nails, like, life in your 30s.
Uh-huh.
And then my girlfriend and I hate watch Girls, which is a real piece of shit. Yeah. I mean, it is so bad, but we're invested, uh-huh. and we just keep watching it to shit all over it. But I don't watch a lot of TV. I'm a big movie guy.
What you fucking with?
Last night I saw Hail Caesar a second time, which I love.
I've been hearing good things about that.
I love it. It's just fun. It's silly. Now, Coen Brothers and other ones that are known for making very white movies, and there's uh-huh. no black people in their movies, which I have the luxury of not caring.
Tyler
Perry make a lot of black movies with no white people.
Yeah, I'm like, they're great. They're hilarious. I don't give a shit. But yeah, I saw Hail Caesar twice. I thought it was great. But it's hard now because the Oscar system, going back to the Oscars, all these, the really good movies get released close to Oscar time.
Right.
So it's like, it's mostly shitty movies now.
Yeah.
You have to go to like independents and documentaries and shit. But Hail Caesar I loved, and... trying to think of, I guess summer will look forward to some movies and stuff, but I don't like action movies or comic book movies.
Nah.
I like a real sad dialogue bullshit.
I am. What you fucking with, bro?
Like I said the other day when I was talking to you, I'm watching, I got the little switch where I could switch my Netflix from USA to any other country.
Oh, wow.
So they have some other options, and I actually haven't even used all the options because other watched the other movies. I went back to a movie that I watched on U.S. Netflix called Mongol, and it's about Genghis Khan and, you know what I'm saying, his whole story. And it was basically a love story, but a guy who went and took over all the lands. But
right.
But he was of it was inspired by his love for this woman. So that was the last movie I watched earlier this week. You know what I'm saying? I love that movie.
Mm.
It's a good movie. Mongol.
Oh, all right, let's check it out.
Falling in love and conquering at the same time. I'm trying to fuck with vinyl. I've been trying to fuck with
I heard
with
it's
vinyl.
A piece of shit.
Yeah, it's not as good as... it's. I want it to be better than it is. You know what I mean? I like Bobby Cannavale. I like my man fucking Vinny from Doogie Howser. Max Casella. Like Ray Romano was in there.
Yeah.
There's moments where you're like, okay, but for whatever reason, some shit is just not... it's not working for me.
Right.
But you know, I'm gonna stick it out, see what's cracking.
I was excited because I love New York in the 70s. I love rock and roll, and I love Scorsese, and I love Romano, but... I've just heard it's real dog shit.
Yeah, it's not living up to all the hype or what you thought it was going to be.
Right.
But anyway, man, where you going to be at this week, Joe, if the people want to see you out in the world?
Where am I? Well, March 11th and 12th, I think. I'm in Long Island, the Brokerage and McGuire's.
Okay.
And then Wednesday, March 16th, I'm at the Helium in Philadelphia.
Oh, shit.
It's a Wednesday, but I'm looking to sell tickets, so they think that I can sell tickets. So March 16th, Philadelphia at Helium. And then Tuesdays with Stories on the same network every Tuesday, Mark Norman and I.
There it is.
No doubt. Yeah.
Muhammad, where can they find you?
You can find me on the Snap. Thorough TV, Thorotv. I'm going to be in Brooklyn running around. We shooting a bunch of stuff here in New York, so I'll be here for a minute.
You said cats was hitting you heavy on the Snap, talking about they watching Respect Life.
Oh,
now,
yeah,
huh?
yeah. I had about 5-6 cats, like, you know what I'm saying? Just got off work hitting this Respect Life. You know what I'm saying?
Respect Life is a web series that's on YouTube that we found, and the shit was... I like it a lot. It's definitely some gritty street shit based in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. And we had the lead on here, this guy that plays Mello on the show, Boom Pacino. We had him on for an interview, and that was cool. You know, so it's been some cats that's been hitting us up like, yeah, I'm fucking with Respect Life. So it's always good to put people on to some other shit.
But you know what I'm saying? But you know, speaking to the audience, they pretty much check in on whatever whatever the conversation is, they'll check in on it, you know what I'm saying, especially on Snapchat. So
yeah.
We have a lot of fun over there.
That's what's up. Shit, I got a few. I'm at the Stand on Thursday and Friday. You know, what else going on? I'm at Stand Up New York coming up Sunday. But even more importantly, to Joe's point, I'm trying to sell some tickets. I'm at Stand Up Scottsdale, March 31st to April 3rd. I need y'all to go ahead and start getting them tickets now so we can get that bitch popping. Last time I was there, Barbara Eden showed up. So if you know Barbara, tell her to come out again because D Lemon's on his way. And shit. I mean, beyond that, you can check me on Twitter, D Lemon Comedy, Instagram, everywhere. Snapchat on Beats Being Broke. And shit, every Wednesday in the conversation. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even your white friends.
to get in the conversation. All right, so we out. Peace.